Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Sister Khalida Akbar welcoming you to another episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night as we highlight people in our community who use their God-given talents to help remake the world into a better place for all people. Tonight we are going to be starting out with a dua for our beloved brother, Jamal Rashid, who returned to Allah today. We ask that Allah forgive him any faults and give him mercy and grant him Jannah. Ameen. We are grateful that you are here with us tonight. The first half is we're going to go ahead and play Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay, the past, the present, and the future. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who knows the past, present, and future. But we can plan, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. So as you're listening in, think about your future goals, and inshallah, we'll be having some discussion on that after Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alay.
Welcome to another edition of Muslim News Magazine.
He strives for will soon be seen. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Nothing comes to a sleeper but a dream.
We are people who are responsible for the conduct of our life. We're responsible for implementing the Islamic teachings, the instructions, and carrying those instructions out in our life. We are responsible for a planned life. Mm-hmm. We just can't have a haphazard life. That won't be accepted. We have to have a planned life. And the plan for our life is already given. We are not to invent a plan. That would be un-Islamic. We are to go to the Quran and go to the Sunnah and get the information for our life and then apply it. And if we apply it and live by it, we are living a planned Muslim life. That's the important word, a planned Muslim life.
For the past 16 years, Imam Muhyiddin Muhammad has been a strong source of spiritual leadership for millions of Muslims throughout America. Imam Muhammad first came into leadership in 1975 after the death of his father, Elijah Muhammad. In 1976, he held his first press conference to announce major changes in the then called Nation of Islam.
The most profound change that was made was the change in the belief that God is black or manifest in black flesh, and that the devil is white or manifest in Caucasian flesh. This was, most disturbing change, if I could put it that way, the most disturbing change that have taken place. But it has been in accord with the direction, if not with the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That change is in accord with the direction of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he gradually influenced the thinking of the membership in that direction. And it is definitely, as all of you will recognize, it is definitely in accord with the Quran, the book that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad established in the Nation of Islam as the supreme guide for the organization.
I support the leadership in Muhammad is total, is that in one word. I mean, I've supported him ever since, as I supported his father beforehand. My transition was behind his leadership, and I'm fully in support, and the community which I'm the imam of supports the leadership of Imam Muhammad.
If there is a more positive influence in America, I know of none. Imam Muhyiddin Muhammad, in his submission to Almighty God Allah, in his teaching of the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, in his seeking out the best conduct, the best civility for his people, and addressing the needs of our people on an economic level, on a political level, and above all, on a spiritual level, the black consciousness that we need so badly to tone the morals of our people is an outstanding achievement. By any standard of achievement, there is no greater achievement than the moral excellence that has to be put back in our people with dedication to education and excellence in the academic and economic world.
During his first 10 years of leadership, many noticeable changes took place. In a 1985 interview, Imam Muhammad reflects.
Well, I evaluate it as an experience and also a situation, experience that allowed us to prove ourselves. We proved ourselves. Under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, we said that we were a people of good intent, that we intended good, that we meant well, and that we were sincere in our beliefs. When the right knowledge came, and most of us put aside that was not right and in conflict with what is true Islam or true religion, I think we proved something. We proved something importantly to ourselves.
But in 1976, when many of us were withdrawing from the drug of race consciousness, Imam Muhammad told his supporters, who were willing to put belief in one God above black nationalism, to remake the world, consistent with a view of one humanity.
We are all grateful also to our loving Imam, Warisidi Muhammad, who is my Imam before your Imam, whether you like it or not. Because when he took over, I was among the first pioneers to go and congratulate him. And instead of praying behind me before he became chief imam, I told him, now you are my personal imam before you are imam to everybody. I still love him, respect him, honor him, and I do admire his achievement in this part of the world.
I bring before you now our Imam, the Honorable Imam Waliseddin Muhammad. Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be on you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. We witness that there is but one God, the Lord, creator of all the worlds. We do not associate with him any as God or as the deity. And we witness that Muhammad, the last prophet, is God's messenger and servant. The peace and the blessings, the prayers and the peace be on him. And all of what follows of that excellent salute to Muhammad, the messenger of God. Ameen. Now my talk will be within this theme, the conference theme, the Quran as the foundation for society. You see? Quran is the foundation for society. For Muslim society, first of all. But whatever we know, that the hope of Muslims is to see what Allah has revealed become the way, the accepted way for all people. Muslims' hope is the same as humanity's hope. That's my statement. That's my opening statement. Muslims' hope is the same as humanity's hope. Now I want to read from this book. Let's see if I can. I got some glasses too, and I need them. I want to read this little small portion of this book as the light shineth, and it's titled "Human Nature." Human nature is black. Now let me explain. Though it's going to be explained in the reading, let me explain before we begin the reading. That we don't mean black in actual color. We don't mean black in actual color. Now let me begin reading. It is very important for us to understand the idea of man being black before he was any other color. It doesn't mean physical blackness. It's talking about human nature. It's talking about intelligence potential. The intelligence potential is in darkness. It is born out of darkness. Just by its own potential, is able to produce light. The intelligence of the human being in darkness without any knowledge, by effort in itself, or by itself, is able to bring about light or whiteness. Now here, we're using the color, a term for color again, whiteness. So I must explain right here, or emphasize, because it's explained within this piece of reading, I believe, that by white we don't mean actual color white. Whiteness means light, not physical light, the light of knowledge. Where did Dr. Farad get this concept? Now, who are we talking about, Dr. Farad? We're talking about the teacher of the late leader of the Nation of Islam, or the Lost Sound Nation of Islam, or the Black Muslims, Elijah Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad's teacher, who's called Farad. It's spelled F-A-R-D, but it's pronounced F-A-R-A-D, Farad. Where did Dr. Farad, and he's called Professor Farad, he's called Dr. Farad, and he's called something that's forbidden, God in the person of the man, or God in the flesh, you know. And he's called by me the satirist in the wilderness, or in the forest. Where did Dr. Farad get this concept? Out of Genesis. Genesis said that there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, quote, let there be light, and there was light, end quote. So white came out of darkness, according to Genesis. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be on him, speaking to his companions, pointed to Bilal. Now, who is Bilal? Bilal is the first muezzin, and muezzin, that term is an Arabic term. It's actually an Islamic term. See, I want the imam to start explaining more to our audience. When we say an Arabic term, if it's Islamic language, if it wasn't used before Islam, though it's Arabic, it is more correctly Islamic. Don't you call your names Christian names? And what were they? English names. But once they become part of your religion, the language of your religion, then those are Christian names. So let's not give the Arabic language or the Arab race or the Arab people more than they are due. They didn't have these terms before Islam. That's what we have to understand. So let me repeat that. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be on him, speaking to his companions, pointed to Bilal, this is from a tradition, and said to them, we all are Bilal. What did he mean by that? That we all are Bilal. Black never in the history of the human rise in civilization was intended to mean skin blackness as a sign of inferiority. It was always intended to mean the blackness of human nature. Human nature is a dark form, but out of that form comes the light of intelligence and knowledge, the science and everything that lights the world. Where did it come from? It comes out of the dark matter of human nature. The Holy Quran says that God makes his man of, and this is translation, Hamim Masnoon is translated, black, stinky mud, fashioned into shade. Gave him refinement, high principles, high human dignity, and then he, meaning God, gives him, meaning the man, something, and also the woman, something of his own inspiration, we may call divine inspiration. And he told the dry, rational-minded people who think that nothing can be or exist unless discovered with dry, rational tools, or empirical instruments, that inspiration cannot come to man. God tells the dry-brained, rational so-called scientists in the Holy Quran, of God says, nevertheless, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, fall ye down and submit to him. What does this idea give us in the Quran?
that man is made from black stinky mud. It means that certainly the human being has flesh odor, this physical flesh of ours. It will have an odor. It will have odor. If the earth is rich, doesn't it smell too? Now, you people from the South who farmed, had gardens and worked in the farm, you know exactly. You had the pictures very clear and vivid for you. If the earth is dead like sand, does it smell? No. If the earth is alive, it is called humus, and doesn't it have a smell? Yes, it does. And the more smell it has, doesn't it do more work to grow more life? Yes. I'm adding these yeses in here, noes, you see. The smell is the sign of life. It means something is alive there. Angel has no smell. We call it stinky. But in the nostrils of God, if we can think of God having nostrils, it is not stinking. It is a matter for aiding the growth of life. Do you think your sex stinks in the nostrils of God? It stinks only when you abuse it. Only when you degrade it. Abuse it. Have sex out of lawful marriage. Disappoint your mate, your good husband or your good wife. That's when sex stinks. And your body, do you think that when you sweat, the sweat bothers God? Do you think the musk that comes from your body when you are working hard bothers God? No. God has made it to bother you so you would do some washing. The Holy Quran frees our minds from those old, dark, primitive, savage kinds of concepts. It dignifies us and makes it possible for us to even live comfortable life in our own individual world. It unifies the man's physical life with his spiritual aspiration. It makes it possible for them, meaning the man, to shake hands with natural life and say, "Brother, I'm glad to know that you are my Siamese twin, that we are one flesh," to a natural man, natural life. Yes, this is the religion. All praise are due to God, to Allah, that is. Dear beloved people, let us wake up. There is too much to be said to say it today. We'll continue at a future time, and I hope we'll continue where we're leaving off today. Go home, do your work, and have that you have to do in your home. Feed your children. Get ready for your tomorrow. But never put down the work of advancing this message. When I say your brothers and sisters, I'm using your language, your brother and your sister is any human, man, woman, or child on the face of this earth. We're talking in the context of what is human, what is truly human. Allah says, and I repeat, that he made us tribes and families that we should recognize or acknowledge each other and not despise each other. This is the word of God in the Quran. And God has said in the Quran that he has made all men, all people. He himself is the creator of every man, of all life, of everything. And he says that he has created the man in the best form, in the best mold, in the best design. And he says again that he has dignified all people on this earth. You don't need anybody to give you a false dignity. Know your original nature and come into the guidance of God, and you will find that your dignity is a permanent, innate, inborn, original, and original dignity. Nobody has to give you a false, artificial dignity. Now, I wanted to read that as an introduction to this talk or this presentation today. Now, I want to go back where with that statement that I made about our hope being the hope, same hope that we identify as the hope of humanity.
And we identify this hope in the progression of Scripture. Not just Scripture to Muhammad, but as Allah says in the Quran, Scripture also before Muhammad. that we believe in the Scripture revealed to Muhammad, and also that was revealed before him. Now, let me make this very clear, which I believe most of us know, but some of us I don't think we have registered it. It is not only talking about the Bible that came before the Quran. It didn't say the Torah or the Old Testament and the Injil, the Gospel. It didn't say that. It says, and believe in that was revealed before you, meaning Muhammad the Prophet, or before your time. It means all Scripture, going back to Adam. If Adam received the word, it includes that. Whatever God has revealed to human beings in the whole time of the life of man and society on this earth, we have to acknowledge it and say we believe in that too. Though we don't even have it anymore, we can't go and find it and read it, but we must believe in it. When we believe like that, what it does for us? It puts our soul, our spirit, and our mind in good situations. But when we got a big dark area hanging behind us, it burdens the spirit. It burdens us, and we're not even aware of it. The Quran frees us in many ways that most of us will never know. Yes, let me continue now. The hope of humanity. I have here also, I say human creations, tradition of excellence is man's hope. That's his hope. There's a traditional excellence that we see evolving from the most primitive or the most backward days of man to the most modern or to the most advanced days of man. We see a tradition of excellence. Excellent behavior on the part of the family, the children, everybody. Excellent behavior on the part of the professional people, the builders, the grocery people, the commercial people. Excellence on the part of government. Excellence. This is the excellence that we hope for. It's evolving. It gets better and better all the time. Though we are now perhaps a burden more than human beings have been burdened any other time, but our burden now is more the burden of stress. Stress. We are living a stressful life, perhaps more so than the human beings have ever lived on the whole any other time in the life of man. But that doesn't mean that our conditions are worse. Our conditions are better now than at any other time than we can read of or imagine. Yes. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. We have plenty. And especially we. Now, a term in Scripture, light, is found in Genesis and also in the Quran. I'm going to go to Genesis and see can we interpret this term, light. Genesis says, darkness was covering everything. There was only darkness. The earth was void, without form, and the darkness, everything dark. Says, and God says, and there was darkness upon the waters. The waters were dark. And darkness says, let there be light, and there was light. So where did the light appear? In the water. Says the Spirit moved along the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Quran mentions water and darkness also. It gives a parable and it says the likeness of the darkness is as the water. Darkness upon darkness. Levels of darkness. Now, those who have stood by deep water, a lake, even a pond sometimes, or a lake at night when it's very dark, and you look at the water, you can see that on the top of the water, it's lighter. And the darkness is depth. The deeper you go, the darker it is to your eyes. And I guess this is very dark down there. The depths of the dark is very dark. It says that the spirit moved on the face of the water. Now I'm doing an interpretation here. You can accept it or reject it. That's not what I'm working for. I didn't come here to work for you to accept or reject me. All right. Now, it says moved upon the face of water. So let us see the face of the water now as the part having the most light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And everything became light, right? Everything became light. So he rose up a light, light for the day, and he set in the heavens the light for the night. Now, we know that to be the sun and the moon. So here we must understand then also that the sun and the moon in Scripture are not really that sun out there and that moon we may see tonight. It's talking about another sun and the moon. Though God, we did make that physical sun that we see in the day when the clouds permit us to see, and that moon and night. We know God made that, but what do we need a prophet to come tell us that for? Primitive man running around in the cave. You know, and he had a name for God. He's God, oh God, oh God. You know, if it was too hot for him, oh God, cool it. So we didn't need no great prophet, no great mind, no super intelligence to come and tell us God made the sun and God made all this. Man knows that by nature. His nature tells him that something did this and is bigger than I am, must be God. He calls it something by some name, and when we interpret that name, we find he means a God. Now I'm coming to another term, kingdom. People have hoped for a kingdom, a righteous and just kingdom to come. And in both scriptures, this hope is addressed. In the Bible, a prayer is given, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does the Quran address this kingdom? As the throne. And it was recited today by Imam at the beginning of the meeting. It is addressed as the throne. And the Quran says of the throne that his throne, meaning Allah's throne or God's throne, extends over the heavens and the earth. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That his throne extends over the heavens, the skies. سَمَاوَاتِ doesn't mean heavens. Heavens is English. سَمَاوَاتِ means the skies. Literally translated, correctly translated, his heaven expands the skies. His throne, pardon me, expands the skies and the earth. وَالْأَرْضِ and the earth. And there's more there to that, but that's outside of this subject, which I would like to talk about, because we need it bad in this world. But I'm not going to burden you with more time, give you too much outside of the... I'm trying to stay within the limits of this talk. Now, so kingdom. What is a man's hope for a kingdom? We're talking about man's hope, the traditional hope of the human excellence of man, that tradition of human excellence. It also is the hope of man. And I'm saying again that a kingdom, a certain kingdom, is the hope of man. And all of these are things. When we hope for that traditional excellence to become better and better and be fulfilled for us on earth, I'm saying it is the same expressed, is the same as the hope for a kingdom, that special kingdom to come on earth. And also, it is the same as that hope for light. Now, the Genesis doesn't say man was hoping for light, but God saw his condition and said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. It is the same as the hope for light. All this is the same. Now, I want to come to something else. It is destiny, also called divine destiny. I'm saying that that's another term or another expression for that same hope. In the tradition of classical civilization, which is nothing but another language of classical scripture. I don't have the Quran. I was going to raise the Quran up. This is not the Quran. It's supposed to be put down and the Quran raised up. Now, let me continue. Now, the destiny. What is the destiny? Do we have a term for this destiny? Yeah, here's the Quran. Yes. So it is the same. The Quran and the scripture will have one language and civilization has another, but it's the same. This destiny in Islamic term or in Quranic term is called Al-Akhirah. 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 What is Al-Akhirah? It is translated by translators as the hereafter. It is translated also as the ladder. The ladder. A more direct translation is given as a ladder. The ladder. The former will be al-awl in Arabic. And the latter will be al-akhirah. The ladder. So it's translated like that. And hereafter is not Quranic. Hereafter is not Arabic. Hereafter is English. Understand that. There's nothing in this word that says hereafter. This word says ladder, the end, the ladder, what's coming later. That's all it says, what's coming later. Former and what's later, or former and the ladder. What is the ladder, or the end, or the death that's coming, yet to come? What is that for us in another expression? The future. That's what it means, the future. We should believe in the future. But not just any future. It is the future that God intends for us. We should have faith in the future that God intends for us. So this word, al-akhirah, if I was going to translate the Quran, and I do plan to do that, and I am doing it piece by piece, or bit by bit as I can find time, and as God blessed me to do it, I would translate this term, not hereafter, I would say those who believe in the future. And in my commentary, I will say the future designed for man by God. Allahu Akbar. That means Allah is greater. I'm saying that to the wise and to the fools. That means Allah is greater. Yes. You know, some of the people who have the biggest idea of their own wisdom are the biggest fools you can find. Now I'm going back to the Bible, to the New Testament. Again, speaking of that kingdom, the promise of a kingdom to come. And I want you to quickly look at the expressions of that in the prophets, John and Jesus, peace be upon John and Jesus Christ. John came alarming the people, didn't he? According to the New Testament, this is not Islam, this is not the Quran. We know the Quran presents it differently. John came alarming the people. Repent! Why he wanted them to repent and in a hurry. The kingdom of God is coming. See, we forget sometimes that it wasn't Jesus who announced the kingdom of God. It was John who announced the kingdom of God. And then Jesus came as a sign. And Jesus, the prophet Jesus Christ, he demonstrated in his own action, he demonstrated what should be the spirit of that kingdom of God. He started bringing to the conscience of people, even his own people, the Jews, who thought of themselves as the favorite people, and I'm using the language, the common language, You know, we don't say Jesus was a Jew. Technically speaking, no prophet of God was a Jew.
Right.
Technically speaking.
Right.
No prophet of God. Now, I'm technically speaking. I'm speaking as a Muslim now. Now, you all will allow me to speak as a Muslim too, right? Okay. Technically speaking, no prophet was a Christian. Technically speaking, every prophet was no more than what we are, a Muslim. And what is a Muslim? We introduced the Muslim in the very beginning of this talk when we introduced the tradition of human excellence. That is the Muslim. Just the human excellence of man, that's Muslim. And God ain't asked nobody to do nothing for him unless they were first in that human excellence.
That's right. That's right.
So before going on from here, I want to make it clear again that by future and hereafter and destiny, we are talking about the hope for the traditional excellence of humanity, of man, to be fulfilled on this earth. Now I come to another expression, faith. Faith. F-A-C-E. We read in Scripture where the hope of man is also, when we say man, we mean woman and man. A society. That's what we mean when we say man. We mean society, which is woman and man. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I see how you picked it up right quick. I see that. I got his vibes from behind me there. And that's not spooky. That's real. That's human, too. Yes. So we look in Scripture. I mean Scriptures before Quran. Scriptures before the Gospel, before the New Testament. And we read where the hope of the oppressed people was to see the face of their Lord, the face of God. What did face mean to them? You think they were asking to see the face of a white man? No. That's not what they were hoping for. When they were talking about the face of God, they were talking about just what you say to each other when you're speaking of somebody that you miss, or somebody that you wish was still living, or somebody that you wish was around near you in your town that's in down south somewhere to help you in your moments of great need. And you say, if I could only see her face.
Right.
You don't mean her physical face. You mean her presence. And you want her presence because she has something that you need in her makeup to comfort you, or in her treatment that you need. So that's why. So when people say they wanted to see the face of God, they wanted to see God's presence. And his presence was just not for his presence per se. No. They wanted his presence because his presence provided what they need. They felt that his presence would fulfill their need. And they were talking about what? Kingdom. What is kingdom? Rule. R-U-L-E. So when they said they wanted to see the face of God, they meant we want to see the rule of God on earth. We're sick and tired of this oppressive rule. We want to see God's rule on this earth. We see your face, O King, and we don't like it. See, face mirrors the person's makeup to you and tells you what you can expect from that person. You know, when you go to a person and you need something, first thing you want to do, we want to look at his face. Hey, man, turn around. Man, look at me, man. Talk to me, baby. They look at me. Don't turn your head. You want to read that face. Yes. So I'm saying that face is just another symbolic term representing the just order, the just rule, the just government that the people hope for on this earth. Now, isn't that a great disservice to that powerful message to show the people a white man and say that's what they were hoping for? Now, I'm not prejudiced against a white man. You know that. I risked your love and your allegiance to tell you that that's wrong. Now, just so we know what time of day it is, I'm going to kind of change, go off from the subject. What they call it, digress a bit, huh? Yeah, digress. You know, you have to, sometimes you have to walk away from it and pick up
that's
something.
Right.
And
right.
Then bring what you saw over there you need
right.
Back to the path of direction
right.
And keep going.
That's right. That's right.
Now, just to show you what time of day it is, while the white European American, and every time I use white and black, please see quotation marks. Because white in the dictionary means pure. It means light. It means a whole lot of things that most white people are not. And black in the dictionary means ignorant, bored, empty, dead, dull, sinful, and a whole lot of, and much more that I can't repeat our quote for you. That just can't apply to most black people. To some, yes, but not to the many. Now, while we are celebrating almost, now I know most of our political leaders, they are not celebrating. Black caucus, they are not celebrating this. Black caucus members, they are not celebrating it. Most of our popular preachers in the churches, they are not celebrating it. Some of our oppressed imams, they ain't celebrating it. But I know I am, and a group that's with me, we celebrate a change for the better in America. We recognize that we are living in a better situation today than we were living in 30 years ago. We're not going to close our eyes to that reality. But while we differ maybe in the way that we respond to change for the better on the part of the behavior of whites, in quotation, always, we do share the burden of a continuation of that old misrepresentation and mistreatment of us. The Japanese, and I won't explain for them why they do this, but we know the Japanese have been guilty of reawakening some racist idea about us. Are giving support to some of the diehard racists, you know, with the language they use and the expressions they make. And we read where they have Sambo dolls, popular Sambo dolls, being sold in Japan. So we just can't say that this problem is over. It ain't over. We celebrate change for the better, but we realize there's still work to do. Not on them. That's the mistake that most of our leaders make.
That's right, that's right.
Time is out for asking for more change in them.
Right.
On us.
Right.
Right. Now, we should realize also that, and by the way, I try to catch Tony Brown's journal as often as I can. And that's where I got this information about the Japanese selling dolls to Sambo doll, Tony Brown, my little short brother that's awfully tall,
right.
Little
that's
Tony
right.
Brown. Oh, that man's so short, he make me feel like stooping a little bit when I talk to him. And you know I'm short. Now, this is important, too, that we realize this, that there have always been good Caucasian, European-American, white people in this part of the world, in the New World. They didn't just come here. They always been here. They were oppressed too when a majority of them did the evils and were successful in establishing the order of white supremacy that they were successful in. Their own people were oppressed too. They never liked it. And many of them have died from the start of that evil to the finish of that evil. Many of them died. John Brown is one of them. They call him a madman. But he died because he was fed up with that evil, and he wanted to make a physical demonstration, sacrifice himself and whoever would help him fight it for the sake of demonstrating his rage at something even existing like that in the country. Now, not only that, these people we call white, they didn't just start accepting us. Look, when we were free, according to history, the first church headed by one of our people was established in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by Richard Allen, and it's called the first black African people's church in America. He established it, and from the moment he began preaching, his congregation was not just black or just recently liberated people from slavery. No, he attracted also whites. They described his congregation as being a congregation that had an appreciable mix of both blacks and whites. That tells you a lot. How many of us would have the courage, if we were white, to go and join a congregation of a black man who had just been liberated from slavery, yes, that most of the whites thought was a monkey and should still be in chains?
Right.
How many of us, if we were white, would have the courage to go and listen to that man preach? So what I'm saying to you, that we need to give intelligent study to the behavior of white people, not just bad whites, but good whites. And it's more important now for us to give make a study of the behavior of good white people in the history. Because we know all about the bad, and there are people ain't going to do nothing but talk about the bad. So we don't have to do that. We need to focus on the thing that they're not focusing on. The good people in our history, and especially the good whites, that died, many of them, because they wanted to demonstrate their moral rage. We're getting there. I don't have to catch a plane today, so you know. If I'm rushing today, it's for your sake, not mine. I'll leave that be. I went over there and I got what was over there on the side of the road. And I picked up what I thought to be needed for this direction. And now we're back on course, okay? Now, within the theme, the Quran as the foundation of society, or for society, let me continue. The Quran speaks of the face of God, the throne of God, but also of the face of God. And in the Quran, which is the word of God, unchanged, perfect, God also speaks of his face. And he says that there's come a time when nothing shall exist. Everything is going to perish and vanish. But the face of God, the Most High. All right, let's move on. Now, we gave Genesis, right? We gave some reference from Genesis. Now let me give something that I think is a kind of Genesis language, if not Genesis, because we have nothing called Genesis. For us, the Genesis is Quran. That's the Genesis. The whole Quran for us is Genesis. And a Genesis that represents the second birth, the life that will remain. It's not going away. Man is born, he dies, but if he lives again, he lives without dying. So we believe that once we live in Islam, obeying the Quran, following the example in the Sunnah of Muhammad the Prophet, that we have the life that will not perish and will not die. We command only as Allah instructs us to command. So we hope for a day when the whole society of man will respect God's intent and God's instructions to us. All of his professions, both sides of his world, the secular side and the spiritual side, or the religious side, we hope for a day when both sides of the world will respect that. Now, we don't want the religious order or government headed by religious people like we've had in the past. Those people made the mistake of following Egypt, Pharaoh's orders, copying his ideas that the man, he becomes God on earth. Pharaoh claimed he was God. He had a great civilization. And right today, Western science and Western civilization pays respect and almost homage to the accomplishments of that ancient civilization called Egypt. But no matter how great it was, we don't want to see ancient Egyptian order on America, do we? No. We call their pharaohs idol worshippers, heathens, right? Though they had great science, they had great science, great material science. We don't look for an order like their order to come, though the pyramid is on the dollar, and the focus of light is there over the pyramid. But we know we don't hope for an order like that. We hope that America's excellent tradition of freedom, justice, equality, progress will continue, and that this democracy we have and have survived in for 200 years will continue to fulfill its promises and become even better until we all are satisfied and not burdened and not punished as citizens in this country. That's what we hope for. We're not looking for that ancient order of Egyptians. No. And we're certainly not looking for the old Church of Rome to come back into power. We're not looking for that because they persecuted the common people. They persecuted the women. They oppressed women and they oppressed the common masses. And what brought about that great ignorance and that great injustice? The belief that man is born to inherit divinity, to be a god on earth. That's what messed them up. So their king was also called the divine. This is history. He was called the divine king. Holiness, thou holiness, your holiness. Not only the Pope, their great king, when the church was ruling the land. So we don't want that. But we do want the promise of God, the kingdom that he intended for man on this earth. And for it to come, we must say as those who made the mistake said. But we say it and do right. We say it and have the right vision, the right perception. We say it too. That the command must be God. Huh? Doesn't make us God. No, we are men. We're just common men, making mistakes, repenting for our sins. But we have the word of God, the rules of God, and this order is the order approved by, designed by, intended for us by God. So in a sense, we do hope for a divine order on earth, a divine a kingdom on earth, a divine rule on earth. We do hope for it. For the rule is always God's, according to the Muslims. The rule is God. And the command is his. So what does that mean? How do we apply that, brother, down here on our in our little small business? We too must apply that principle in our life in the home. Sister, you should want the order of God in your house. You should want to run your family according to the word of God. You should want to raise your children to hope for wives, to hope for husbands, who will hope for homes run according to the order of God. And when you have that, you have a unit model of the kingdom to come. You have a proof of what God promised, huh, in your house. Brothers, when we are teaching in our schools, and sisters, when you are teaching in the schools as school teachers and principals, you should be trying to run that school under the command of God, so that school becomes a model, a unit in that great order that God intends for us on this earth. And that applies to all of our aspirations, to all of our investments, to all of our involvements, to all of our concerns, to all of our business. It applies to science and everything else. Though we are medical doctors, we should try to run our medical order so that it will be a small unit of that government, that divine government that's coming. Say, hey, what kind of administration you have here? One approved by God's word, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Ah! Then it'll be halal and tayyib, huh? Huh? It'll be halal and tayyib. Then it'll be a reflection of that paradise that God wants us to have. See, Muslims must understand that God, he doesn't want to shock the ignorant believers and burden them too much. They are not intellectual yet. So he says a lot of things to us that the wise, that the ignorant must grow into wisdom to understand and appreciate. But I think civilization, just the fact, you know, if you haven't been doing nothing but riding on the bus of civilization, or the truck, or the train of civilization, we have made so much progress. Now, I don't think we should have to be hesitant to tell you that God wants us to have paradise now and after.
Right.
Here and hereafter.
Right.
Now and later.
Right.
And I'm telling you that it's real.
Yeah.
God's promise is real.
Right.
And the Quran makes it possible and practical.
Yeah.
And Prophet Muhammad shows us the steps plainly for all of us to see and follow. So, dear brothers and sisters, that's the meaning of Quran as the foundation of society. And we pray God forgive us all our sins and guide us always, grant us peace and prosperous families and happy families. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Today's lecture by Imam Walid-ud-Din Muhammad had to be one of the most encouraging and future-focused talks from him, and I hear him a lot. All of them are excellent, but this one was right on in terms of the future and what we have to do, establish ourselves here, now, and also later.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Narrative Aspirations. We hope that you thoroughly enjoyed Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay and that you learned something that you can use in your life today. I am your host, Sister Khalida Akbar, and here on Narrative Aspirations, we aspire to go higher. So we play things that we hope will inspire you to use in your life right now to not only accomplish your goals, but to motivate you spiritually, intellectually, physically, and emotionally. We want a well-balanced person. And so, inshallah, you receive something that you could share. If you have a question or comment, you can press 1 at this time to come into the queue. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about goals. We know that that was the past, present, and future from Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. And we want to look at working towards our future. We know we can't change the past, but we can change the future. And so with that said, we're going to talk a little bit about goals and what that looks like, goal setting and what that looks like in reference to establishing a model community for all people. Again, if you have a question or comment, just press 1 to come into the queue. All right. So one of the things that we talked about today in my classroom, we talked about making sure that we prioritize what's important to us, because it's very important that you know thyself. To thine own self be true. We all heard it 100 times, but it really is an indicator on how well you will reach any goal in your life. And mapping out periods of space that are sacred that no one else is allowed into. For example, if you work or you have extracurricular activity 5 days a week, carve out that sacred space on Saturday or Sunday for you to self-reflect and plan for your goals and work on those goals to become a reality. All right, so we're going to look at different types of goals, long-term, short-term goals, and we're going to look like look at our own personal lives and look at how we can apply them. All right, so we know when we set a short-term goal, it's something that we're looking for within 3 to 6 months to make a reality. For example, if you want to go back and get your licensure in a field that you're already certified, but you need an additional licensure so you can practice a different part of that field, for example, teaching. If I wanted to go into working with students who are ELL or English language learners, then I would have to get an additional licensure. And so we know that that would be a short-term goal because you can pretty much do that within 6 months, depending on the degrees that you already have. Now, if we're talking about building a model community for all people, we know that it's going to take a lot of planning, a lot of work, and also a lot of resources. And we talked about that as being people, places and things that help us accomplish our goals. And so tonight we're going to look at what it would take to build a model community. I'm your host, Sister Khalida Akbar. And so one of the things that I would like to start with is family. I'm big on building strong family life. We know that without that, we're not going to build any type of community that will withstand the test of time, that will be generationally wealthy, that will be sustainable. And so when we look at the family life here in our communities and our individual families, we realize that most families are solid if they have a mother and a father, and also if they have the foundation of Islam, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Holy Quran. That is the basic foundation for success. And, of course, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at the top. And so when we look at what our value systems are in our families, we build our lives around that. If we say that we are a family that is are Muslim, that we submit our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that needs to be displayed in everything we do. Of course, we would just keep it simple. We would start out with salah. We make our 5 prayers daily. We know we read Quran daily if possible, if not, as much as we can throughout the week. And then we also look at our prospective roles as ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and apply them into practical application. We know what the woman's role is.
It's about an OG.
Not even just that. He wanted me to give him like,
oh yeah,
I think it was 7. He wanted
5 G's.
Yeah,
$40.
The first one to be he wanted it to be whatchamacallit. And he went down to 5. I said, I'm like, bro, why don't you just get the money and save, like, just work, save up for it, and then come get it when you can afford to get it, like. But then he gonna hit up Malcolm, which I thought was very weird, because I'm giving you a discounted price. So that mean to me, Malcolm gonna make you pay full price. So if you hitting Malcolm up, that mean you do got the money, you just don't want to give it to me. You trying to see what you can get off of it. If you think about it. Because if you know you can get something somewhere at a discount, why are you going to go and pay full price for the same exact shit? I'll never listen to nothing. I'll tell them. And what I'm saying is that, I'm just saying, but like, you be hitting my line always, like, you know, hey, bro, can you do this? Can you help me with that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you ask for all this help and then fuck up the help. I ain't got time for it no more.
Yeah.
Tried to be cool with him. I don't know. We'll see how the next day's playing. But to be going through this with a nigga, like, it sound like she should go through with a bitch. It's not that. That's definitely a grown ass man. So
his role is, as far as being the imam of his household, as far as not only being a leader in his household, but a leader in the community, but finding that middle ground where he's not spending all his time outside of the home, and he's not spending all of his time inside of the home, because we know that we need him to be in the masjid, to help build community life, to keep the masjid open for salat. And I know here in Charlotte, we have a rotating schedule. So it's not the same family that's sacrificing that. And really, it's not a sacrifice. It's a blessing, because you get more blessings when you're able to pray in the house of Allah. And so you want to encourage him to go and do that when it's possible. You also want to have a solid foundation where you communicate, you have boundaries, and you have expectations that you communicate clearly, so nobody's guessing and nobody's trying to read between the lines and no one's feelings are being neglected. And so when there is a balance of realistic goals and expectations in the household, you can start building that sustainable family life, because you'll be connecting with one another. You're not competing, you're never competing, but you are connecting. You want to build a life together. You're soulmate, so to speak, you're on the same team. And when we self-actualize together, we'll all benefit, because whether the mother or the father is the breadwinner, so to speak, we're still a team. You know those perspective words, and you know those perspective roles that you're supposed to be in. And the words that I mean, I was going to say roles, not words, but we know how to respect one another and not undermine the roles that Allah gave us and not undermine the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us what our roles are in the unit of a family. And so when we have that, we can come to our children and sit down and talk to them. And not only talk, but when we model it, when they see us putting each other first, when they see us smiling at one another, when they see us making family time, quality time for one another, and respecting one another and not putting anyone or anything in front of one another, unless it's just something that you can't help. But it shouldn't be a regular it just shouldn't be a regular habit. Like, oh, well, I'm out. I have something to do in the community, or I can't do this, I can't do that. That's not what Allah wants us to do. Because Allah really loves marriage and family life, because he knows the importance of it. He knows that's how to keep humanity going. And we want to do it in a halal way. We don't just want to go and mate. So we need solid marriages, and we need our children to be able to believe in the importance of marriage. But we have to have environments that are healthy, because otherwise it can stagnate them, or they could second guess, well, you know, I don't know, if they didn't have a healthy example in front of them, they're less likely to want to repeat that. They're less likely to want to even, in some cases, marry at a young age, or even older. They're a little more apprehensive. So we want to set the foundation where our families are solid. We're not coming with this unrealistic expectation of being a khalifa, a robot, a soldier, etc., and you have a harsh way of dealing with your family. You're never there. You're not being the imam in your household, but then you're everywhere else doing everything for everyone else, because Allah will hold us accountable for that. That is a deficiency somewhere within ourselves where we need to work on it, because the only true validation that we need comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't need any more accolades other than what Allah inspires us to do. Yes, it's nice to be recognized. Yes, it's nice to work yourself we love that righteous competition. And we're not saying that it's not sincere. Even if it is sincere, it's a balance. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the best example. He was there. He had more than one family, actually. He was able to make a schedule where he was able to be there for his family, spend quality time with his family, and still be the messenger of Allah. And none of us are going to be able to do that in this life, because Allah tells us that that was his last messenger. Not saying we're not going to be able to do great things and not be able to move mountains and change the world. Because we know on America Muslim 360, that is actually our motto. We're making the world into a better place for all people. But my point is to keep things in balance. And that should be one of our major goals. And one of the things that I also know that is lacking in our community is socialization. Our socialization skills need to be peaked. When our young children are 9 and 10, we need to have more socials. We need to have more interaction among the sisters and the brothers, because what they're doing is it's almost taboo. They're like little robots in the masjid. We're on one side, they're on another. And then when it comes time for them to intermingle, it's unnatural. Closed off inside of the masjid, pretty much. But then when they go out here in society and go to school and go to college, they're able to relax. And then they end up meeting people of different faith traditions and not without having that same comfort within their masjid and in our communities, because we've been a little too rigid in that area. So we need to look at relaxing a little bit and allowing them to be who they are, allowing them to have those interactions, because they're going to have them. They're human beings. Allah created us to be social beings. So if we're not getting it in our masjid, they're going to go out and socialize with their peers who are non-Muslim. And 9 times out of 10, most likely, if we are not really up on helping them find an Islamic mate, they're going to go off to college, and they're going to meet people who are not Muslim. And that's what's happening. And they may not always marry Muslim. Well, we could have spared that. We had an advantage. We had 10 years of them just sitting around the masjid, listening to us, coming to our Sister Claire Muhammad schools, coming to our events, coming to our conferences, and we just put it at the tail end. Or we didn't even have anything around marriage or have anything where they get a space for them on a regular basis. So my challenge to us in that goal of building sustainable family and community life is making sure that we create a space for our young adults to mingle. And I know we look at other cultures and say, you know, we don't want that. We don't want to pick anybody's meat, or we don't want to promote anything with marriage. But let me tell you, if we don't be promoting something soon, we're going to have some issues, because Satan will be promoting. So we have to give them something. We can't just sit back and laissez-faire
through and say, well, you know, they'll find the right person. It needs to be an intentional effort. It's too many of our young adults that are not in the masjid. It's too many of us just doing our own thing with life and then sending our children off, and they come back from college. You know, we don't want to wait until that time. We want to socialize them young. We're not saying we're picking out their marriages, but you have the cream of the crop. Everybody's a virgin. Everybody's family's coming to the masjid. We're fasting every month for Ramadan. I mean, it seems like we're just, like, taking all those years for granted, and then when somebody goes off and they come back with someone non-Muslim, we act like we're surprised. Or where are you? Where are our young adults? Did we make a space for them? Did we create environments that were natural? Or did we try to deen to the point where we were unnatural? We're going to do this deen to the point where we're not even being the human beings that Allah created us to be, because we're too rigid in some area and we're lacking in humanness. That nobody's attracted to that. Nobody wants a robot or somebody who's harsh and demeaning and disrespectful and get up and on a podium and talk to you about Allah. To children, that contradicts their psychological well-being. They don't want no parts of that. And when they can go outside and all they hear is someone else from another faith tradition talking about God is love, come as you are. We have to combat things with common sense. And so we need to look at finding that middle ground and allowing them to be who they are. And again, not saying we're going to set up marriages, because we know that's not part of our culture, but we do have a responsibility to provide the environment for them to socialize, interact with those parents. Go to those celebrations, whether it's a birthday party, and I know some Muslims don't even do the birthday party, but even if it's a graduation, and Akika. These are family events that you should be networking, just like we network for business. We network to go get that degree. We network. We want a house or a car or relocate to another city. The most important thing that we can do for our future is to network in terms of family. Get into a good family. Look for those families who are stable. Look for situations that you can socialize your children in so they don't feel like they're the only child on a block who's Muslim. And the only time they see another Muslim is when they come to the masjid. They might be a young adult there. If we're lucky, they might come to our event. But there has not been a strategic effort to reach out every month to the college students. Are they getting an email for the masjid? Are we sending them any type of wellness kit? We love you. Keep it up. We want you to come out the same way you want in or better. You know, are we doing? Are we going down there, getting in the car and going down there and supporting them, their events, their accomplishments? We got to keep in touch with them. We can't just magically expect them to pop up because the shaitan doesn't want us to be successful. We know we have something that is special. And when you have something special, you can't laissez-faire your way through it. You have to protect it. You have to be intentional, and you have to ask Allah for his blessings. And Allah tells us that he's going to bless the effort. If we take one step towards him, he'll run towards us. And so with all these doctors and master's degrees and intelligent people that we have become in our ummah, we have a lack. We have a lack in that area of building sustainable family and community life. We can strategically look at how we can do it better. And we cannot make excuses. We cannot afford to make excuses. We have to put them, every program we have annually should have a space for them. And I know some of them do, but I mean have a space for them. The focus is on it Friday through Sunday, not just a tail end at something or not just that little 2 hours on Saturday. But they should have a space all weekend to get to know each other, to socialize, to have that humanness, to get to know people, to network, families included, because that's important. And the only way that we are going to remake the world is if we have solid families. We want solid families that are not broken. We want healthy-minded individuals who are not just coming into the deen looking for a prey or an innocent Muslim sister to help lift them up, and then they're not even qualified to have that, because that's what's happening in some cases. We have people maybe new to the deen or have been incarcerated. They come out. They're looking for somebody who's going to accept them, and many of us are open-hearted. We're loving. We're caring. We want to help people, but we have to protect what's ours. We cannot afford to have our children, our community, in the hands of people who are not ready to handle it, because then you have the mental dysfunction, you have the abuse, you have the exposure to children who are looking at somebody, especially if they're an imam or in a leadership position, and I don't want no parts of that. And so they're tuning out all the imams because they think that one person is an example, and all of them are fake. Because I've heard that. I heard children say that. So, I don't want no parts of that. And then on the podium, they're saying one thing, but they're acting crazy, you know, at home. And so we have to make sure that we, not just because someone comes into our community and is a great leader, we have to have the background. We have to know that this person is being who they are, not just out in public, but how are they at home? And the only way we're going to do that is if we have community life, where we're able to see that person outside of that role. We're able to talk to those families. We don't just want imams, but we don't know their wives. We never seen them. We don't know nothing about how they're going. Every time we turn around, they have a different wife. These are ways that these things can, abuse can set in like that. You don't know who she is, don't know what happened with this one and that one. We're going to be holding each other accountable. Because if you are in that space, if you are seeing that person, people know who she is at least, we won't have as much turnover because that's embarrassing. Every year, time we see you, 3 or 4 years, you have somebody different. Yes, that is an option. You can have more than one wife, but do it with respect and do it in moderation and do it with dignity because little eyes are watching in everything we do. And we don't want to put that out as the number one downfall for our ummah because Allah is going to hold us responsible. He gave us very great leaders. He gave us opportunity after opportunity. And when I look, when I go out, we're going to have to start being realistic and honest. When I go out to the masjid, I don't see very many people under 40. I don't see very many young adults. I know, remember we had a thriving Sister Clara Muhammad school, but we don't, when we have our events, they're just not filling up the masjids like they should. And I spoke before about, we had a survey where they said they would just rather have a space of their own. We always had something already structured, cookie cutter designed for them, rigid, sisters over here, brothers over here, you know, strong-arming them into everything. And then they get out in the world and everything's, hey, laid back, fun, they can be themselves, you know. And so we have to make that same type of environment and be more strategic and conscientious because, hey, we rather them marry inside the masjid if it's a healthy situation and you know the family, then go off to college. They can still get someone beautiful. But, hey, you have the cream of the crop. Use it to your advantage. You seeing these babies grow up from infants on up, and they just looking at each other like they're not even thinking on that time because we haven't planted those seeds. Oh, that's just a brother in the masjid. I'm not supposed to like him. Or a sister in the masjid. Oh, I grew up with her. That's just my friend. But then they go up and get a non-believer or someone from, we don't know what the family is. And so all I'm saying is be more strategic. And that's one of the things I'm going to be focusing on in my presentations and moving forward. And I'm going to have an outline and really bring in some information that's going to be empowering to us. Because if we don't get this right with family, we're going to have a hard time remaking the world into a better place for all people. And we're going to have a hard time passing the torch. Because who are we going to pass it to? So with that said, let's look and see if we have any questions or comments. And so that's the goal that we're going to talk about tonight, building sustainable family and community life and looking at better ways of how we can do it as a ummah. Okay? If you have a question or comment, press 1 to come into the queue. Okay, so I can see the queue. We do have, we're going to go to 636-980. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem Hamid. Welcome to Narrative Aspiration. Brother Kareem, you're on. Imam Kareem.
Okay, all right. Thank you. I was unfortunately, I was muted. But you are definitely speaking to a critical a part of our lives, and that is being able to pass on our life to the future, you know, and that is our children, our youth. And when we say our life, we are talking about the life that Allah has preferred for the human being. Now, in light of the sacred bond of marriage, we are instructed to inshallah have a wali for the female and a wali for the male. And usually these are adults, and some may have been married before. Some are full-grown adults, but it is prescribed, it is strongly recommended that they have a wali, someone that will look out for their interests. Now, in relationship to our children, if we require a wali for grown people, for adults, responsible adults, then the idea of just letting our children just go has been described as a free space without any supervision, without any preparation. I think that's a very risky venture to go into. If a grown man needs a wali and a grown woman, what about especially our adolescents? If left to themselves, they can begin to display aberrant behavior, immoral language, immoral actions. So I somewhat lean to that we do need someone to oversee, let's say, a social event is given. And we know we love music and dance and all of that. We do. But this is for our young people. I believe that there should be some, at least one or two responsible adults there to somewhat keep it halal, to keep it halal. So I'm not saying, you know, become a drill sergeant or anything like that, but we have to be very wise, very respectful, very considerate when we're addressing our youth and use language that does not demean them, does not tear them down, use language that that lift them up. You know, like in most religion, people say, you know, I don't want to be in an organized religion because they have all of those don'ts. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't. You must do this. If we change our language, if we change our language concerning what we can do, what we can do, you can live your life drug-free. You have the power to live your life drug-free. You can get you a good education and become a leader in this country. If we start announcing the opportunities that are open to them of what they can do and highlight what they can do and not all of the don'ts, then I think that may be a better prescription in dealing with our young minds. Let them know the value that Allah has already placed within them, and you have the power within yourself. You, thank God you don't have to be a crackhead. You can avoid that. You don't have to be a thot. You can avoid that. These are things that they can do. So that's only a strategy that I've been thinking on for quite a good while now. Instead of highlighting all of the don'ts, we should highlight all of the opportunities and all of the cans that they can do. So I just figured I would stop right there, but I definitely suggest that we should not leave our youth unsupervised. There's a way of supervision that is not intrusive, that does not get in the way, that allows them to be who they are. So I'll just stop right there, my sister. Thank you, Sister Kalita. I hope that something I have said has been beneficial to somebody other than myself.
Awesome.
I'm welcome, Sister Kalita. Thank you.
You're welcome. Alhamdulillah. And thank you, Imam Kareem Hamid. And see, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because our listening audience and myself needs to hear that. And my vision, just like yours, will always have the chaperones there. But I didn't mention, but even in the children's or young adults events, we always have the chaperones, but they're just that. They're not setting up the program, but they're there, they're observing and are keeping everything halal, and that they know they're in there, but they're not, you know, organizing the event. They're not facilitating the young adults are doing it. So that's exactly what I was trying to convey. So thank you so much. And listening audience, Imam Kareem Hamid said something very important. We always have chaperones at any event, even, again, for our adults that are seeking marriage, or at least a wali, inshallah. All right. Thank you so much, Imam Kareem. And another thing I've noticed that you said, I was like, you must have some young adults that you talk to. You said, because those are the kind of words that they use pretty much in elementary, not elementary, I'm sorry, middle school. And when you said thought, you know, so we definitely don't want our young adults to fall into that category. Definitely.
You know,
and I haven't heard that
in a while. I somewhat keep up with their language. And that eases them, that they're very comfortable around me, you know. But I somewhat keep up with their some of their trends, their language, and all of that. A young man walked up to me. I was attending a football game last football season, high school. And he said, "Yeah, OG, I like your drip." I said, "Oh, thank you. Thank you, young man." Now, I knew what he meant. He said, "I like your drip." OG means original gangster. They refer to us great beard as OG. But I knew what he meant. When he said, "I like your drip," I had a nice velour tracksuit on. And he was complimenting me. Drip means your clothes. I like what you're wearing. So that eases them around us when we can understand them and understand the language. Mm-hmm. And thank you.
And that's an excellent strategy. Thank you. And you said it was drip, D-R-I-F-T?
No, D-R-I-P.
Oh, okay. MashaAllah. Okay, so thank you for sharing that and enlightening us here on Narrative Aspirations. And that's really important when you can communicate with them and understand what they're saying and you can, you know, have those conversations. That's important. So thank you.
Okay,
so much.
Thank you, Master.
Yes,
I'm signing off.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. That was some awesome feedback from Imam Kareem Hamid. So we also need to learn their language and their logic and be able to communicate effectively with them in certain situations where they feel like you understand them and that you're not out of touch with everything because we all were their age at one point. So we're going to take a few moments and play a station break, and inshallah, we'll be right back. If anyone else has any questions or comments, you can press 1 to come into the queue. Again, we were talking about a little bit about building sustainable family and community life, but we will be going into it more strategically, and we will be looking at it from the Quranic perspective, and we will be asking you to contribute, okay? Not tonight, but we will have some programming coming on, and we will be bringing on some of our young adults, inshallah, and we will be talking with them. So we'll be right back after this station break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us. or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
And we are back here on Narrative Aspirations. The next goal I want to look at is getting or meeting that spouse from an adult perspective. And, again, I am the founder of Vows, but one of the chairs. We have a new chair. His name is Brother Atif Mukman, but he was with me the whole 8 years that I was the chair. And so he is so on it. And I encourage everyone to contact him if you have someone that's interested in vows, because what we're doing is we are trying to establish a network of masjids where we can connect with and continue to promote the institution of marriage. And again, his name is Atif Mukman, and his number is 704-493-4813. He is the current chair for Vows, but he was a member all those years, and he was very supportive in all the events that we planned together. He was one of the only male admin, and so he also married within the group, and his wife is the co-chair. So Allah just worked it out where I can be the outreach component of, and I call it blessed because the Vows Committee is a committee within Masjid Ash-Shahid, and I encourage every masjid to have their own committee. I don't like to call it singles committee. That's one thing that we had years before Vows came along, and some people want to keep taking it back to the singles, but it actually is the committee that propagates the institution of marriage, because we have people come from other cultures, and they may have already had a spouse, a wife, and we don't want to be restrictive in our language, because we follow the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we respect individuals' rights. And so it is also a community concern. That's the other big reason I said committee that propagates the institution of marriage. It's just not for a group of single people to get together and plan events to have game nights. We're strategically planning to bring in our imams, our leaders, our longevity in marriage couples, anything that we can think of. And, yes, our singles and people who have never been married before. So we have different demographics, so we don't want to be restricting in our language, and we don't want to be restricting in our events. Now, some events, we get recommendations, they just want people who are single. Some people prefer that. We can have those events, but overall, our overarching goal is to build sustainable family and community life. And we can't do that just focusing on one population and excluding everyone else, because there's people are taboo against certain things. Everybody has a right. You have a preference. Allah hasn't mandated anything for us as far as marriage is concerned and selecting a compatible mate for marriage. But he has given us guidelines to use our intellect, to bring our walis, to get to know people of like minds and like nature, and to provide halal environments for people to network. And that is our goal. And also to educate ourselves, especially if we have new people that are coming in, taking their shahada. No, they're not getting right on board and looking for a spouse. They're going to go to an introduction to Islam. We have it at our masjid every Monday night, Islam 101. You have to get into the deen, start learning your deen first. That's not the first thing you want to do is jump into a marriage. But, you know, we're not restricting and saying they can't do that and they can't grow together. But we're not advocating that. In our imams, but definitely if somebody just walked in the door, we're going to want to get to know them a little bit and send them to Islam 101 like everyone else. And then they maybe could still counsel if they were interested in someone. But we're not the committee that's just going to go ahead and open the doors and let someone just come in and have their pick and they just walked in the door. We don't know them. And so that's a part of accountability and responsibility, because when people come to our committee, they are expecting us to have done some homework. They want a safe place, and they're not feeling that we're just going to let anything go by. No, we have forms that people fill out. We have like an application and a questionnaire. They're private and confidential, and we only share if there's a mutual interest. But we do get the basic information, and we let the group come up with some of the questions, and they add it, are you married or single? What career do you have? Income, if you want to share that, it's optional. We have optional parentheses. If you have children, the things that are going to really impact your marriage. They came up with some additional things because we were a little basic at first. Your name, the state that you live, your address, where you live, your imam, your masjid. We always have asked, your imam and the, your resident imam and your home masjid, because that is a starting point for us. That gives us an idea of who you are, if you're an active, thriving community member, because that's one of our things that we promote. Come out when we have conferences. Come out to Talim, Jumaa. Let us get to know you. So as we're getting to know each other in these social circles with the game nights, with the conferences, with the movie nights, sometimes we put up the big screen on a hill at the masjid, or we have a Sister Khair Muhammad school bus that we can use that we went out to eat. So we do things, but we have security with us, we have chaperones, and we have the information that we have contacted and verified as admins. We have a responsibility. It's never a free-for-all. It's never something that's unorganized, because Allah will hold us accountable. Our first and foremost fear is Allah. We're not worried about what people think, because if you're organizing something that propagates the institution of marriage and you're Muslim, there's a set of expectations that come with that, and people's guard may not be up like it usually is if somebody walks up to them, you know, that they don't know. And so with that said, you must have some guidelines that promote healthy marriages and protect people. And so, alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. And so with that, I'm going to encourage everyone who's listening tonight, if you do not have a marriage committee or a committee that propagates the institution of marriage, look at what you do have in your masjid and see how they can incorporate into what you already have, because Islam is just a way of life, and if you really examine it, you probably already have it there, but it's not refined. And if not, bring it in. Look for some people of every age bracket. It doesn't have to be all young adults. We need everybody. All of us need to be focused on building healthy, thriving marriages, because we have more people at an older age getting married now. I mean, we have people, our pioneers are getting married left and right, and we have people who are getting remarried, et cetera, and they're living their best life, 50 and up. And alhamdulillah, you know, lived and learned, know exactly what they want, know exactly what they don't want, not wasting time trying to figure out a whole lot of things. If it's not looking like it's going to be a match, assalamu alaikum, and they keep it moving, and Allah has blessed them. And so we do have some young adults that have came on board. They have been attending some of our events. They did attend the conference with Imam Rashad out of Atlanta, and it was a nice turnout. And so we're looking forward to our next one. Again, the chair, Brother Atif Mukman and his wife, Sister Sahalia Mukman, have some great ideas that they have coming up. And myself, Sister Khalida, will be not touring the country, but traveling, promoting BLESS, which is Building Life, Elevating Sustainable Societies, because the focus isn't just on marriage. And we'll go into our next set of goals, but it is the four birds. Is marriage first? Yes. But we're going to build sustainable family and community life through business, education, culture, and government. And those are the four birds that Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh, encouraged us to start building and remaking the world with. And guess what? It's what we have here in the United States of America and all other well-established nations. It's not rocket science, but it is a strategic way. And it has to be planned out. And it has to be funded, and it has to have people that are intellectuals, that are business owners, the people who are able to understand how government works, and also various cultures that make it lively and beautiful. And so when we look at that, we'll be able to better plan it and see it and make it a reality and continue making it a reality, because it's already in the makings. But we want to go ahead and refine those so we can bring the best model into fruition, inshallah. All right? And so with that said, we're going to look at our time. We have about 4 minutes left. I'm going to go back. Wow, we have a lot of people that are in queue. We're going to go back to the queue. If you have a question or comment, press 1, please, to come into the queue and share your thoughts. doesn't always have to be relevant or related to what we are saying, but you're more than welcome to share. We're going to go to 727-741. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Martha Nyla. Welcome to Narrative Aspiration.
Alaikum assalam, and alhamdulillah. I pray you can hear me well, because this phone, I was told, was kind of staticky earlier. Is it clear now?
Yes, ma'am, it's clear.
Okay, very good. I want to say you and I are definitely on the same path, and inshallah, we've got to shadow one another, so we must get together.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm looking forward
to
that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So praise
Thank
be
you
to
so
Allah.
Much.
And I'm thinking in reference to the strategizing for accomplishing the goals that you were just expressing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And so,
Thank
inshallah.
You.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Martha Nyla, who is our executive director, and we are grateful for her calling in. And again, we thank Imam Kareem Hamid, who is our program manager, and they are still being supportive and listening in and shining some light on these topics. So we thank Allah for them. And again, going back to what we were talking about earlier about building sustainable family life, if there is something that needs to be worked on within a family, we have the resources again, people, places, and things to help refine those intentions and help us with the challenges that we may have, and so we can build a healthier marriage. We don't always have to throw in the towel, but we need support. And so that's the best thing about having a community. When you see something, say something, offer support in a respectful way, and strive to be that excellent model. It's nothing like a good model example, and always look at the good the person is doing as well. If you have your mate, go ahead and give them the respect that they deserve. Baby, I love the way you do this. You're awesome at this. You know, give them some good feedback, not just dinging them for everything that they are not measuring up to, or because we wouldn't want that done to us, because no one's perfect. So we want to work on ourselves first, and then we can be a better wife, a better husband, and our children also better children. They can express themselves. They'll be respectful. They'll feel like they take ownership into their community and their families, and they're not just a fly on a wall or just children to be bossed around and told what to do. Yes, we do have to guide them, and we have to at some times tell them what to do, because that's our role. But they also are human beings, and we want to respect the fact that they are growing and learning how to come into their own persons as well. And so we thank you for joining us tonight, and we thank all of our callers. We hope that you can join us again next week. We want to encourage you to attend, if possible, the National Leaders Conference coming up in Florida with Imam Bashir Ali. He will be heading it up. Okay, I think it's going to go ahead, but we'll be giving some more information about that, inshallah. It is in Florida this year, and it is, hold on just a second. I have some information real quick. If it cuts off, we'll get some more information to you, okay? Okay, so it's in Orlando, Florida, October 20th through the 22nd. You can go on iwdmcommunity.com for more information to register. iwdmcommunity.com, and it's called the 2023 Community Development and Leadership Conference. The topic is Progressing and Protecting Our Legacy and Mission. Alhamdulillah. May the peace and blessings that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give be with you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Again, we want to give condolences, and we want to pray for the soul of Brother Jamal Rashid, who was a host here. He did return to Allah today, and we ask Allah to forgive him any faults and grant him mercy and grant him Jannah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, we ask that you grant Brother Jamal Rashid forgiveness, mercy, and freedom from the hellfire.
and bless him to Jenna. And we also ask that you protect his family and leave them with beautiful, loving memories and give them the strength that they need at this time. Assalamu alaikum, arrahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah, Executive Director for CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference. With God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer, we are openly acknowledging that God is one, that there are absolutely no partners with God, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of the one God. Through his example, we are able to live in this time, 450 years beyond the time of enslavement here in the United States of America. Proactively and from the mercy of the Almighty, we stand with the human family that Juneteenth is a reminder of what once was and how we can take a stand and be a contributing factor to the human family for the best of humanity, continuing to strive with the excellence that our foreparents stood with and for, many who lost their lives because they chose not to be subdued and treated inhumanely. Juneteenth, again, is as a soul arising by the mercy of the one God. And now, welcome, dear human family, to Juneteenth 2021.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
So your five senses and your hand that writes and writes and say, as Allah said in the Quran, write it and say, this is from God.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, you want a dominance? Get down into the material earth. And it's going to eventually bury you, you greedy Satan. So to get man to go wrong, the Satan in the Genesis, in the beginning of the Genesis, invites him to look at the material world and see how great he can become if he thinks freely and not be hindered in his thinking by his fear of God. Look at the possibilities you have. Man, to explore this material world and become very powerful, very productive, live forever. I'm giving you a wisdom, and your rule will be everlasting. It will not be just for one season. I'm going to give you an idea for a rule that will survive all seasons. Yes, that was his suggestion to Adam. That means to us, to people, back then and now and all the time. That's the suggestion. All right. Yes. So I think that's good enough. That's enough for that scene. They be going from scene to scene. Inshallah. Now, we're on a dominance. What does I didn't forget the topic now. The topic is where we going. Ummatul Wusta, the balanced community. In the Bible, this language for educating the special intellect, the ambitious and special intellect, for educating that intellect on how to establish a dominance, is given in many places in Scripture, but I'm going to share this one with you. In the Bible, the difficulty that a certain element among the Jews were having. Mind you how I put that.
Yes,
a certain element among the Jews. Never think that Jews are bad people. Jews are good people. But they've been misguided themselves by an element among them. They have become loyal to an element that they don't know is the devil himself, the shaitan himself. But I was happy to learn here recently that the world Jews, do not accept Zionism. They don't accept it. And they condemn Israel taking the position that God gave them that land. Now, this is world Jewry. It's on the web. You can find them on the web. You should look at your students that are serious about following my method or my school. You should get on the web and find that. Find it and see what they're saying. They say that there's no support for the establishment of Israel in the Torah. And they say that there's no support for Zionism in the Torah. That's the majority of the Jews. And the Quran never condemns all Jews. The Quran says most of them. The Quran does not condemn all Christians. Allah in the Quran says most of them. And we know that to be real right now. Most of them are out of it. But he says there's a party among them that believes in God and believe in promoting fair dealing among the people. Yes. And he says that let there be of you a party, a group, doing the same. Huh? The same, the exact same thing that the Allah, the Quran, with his words, credit the Jews and Christians for having a special group among them who are committed and loyal. Huh? to obedience to God and establishing the right way for man on this planet Earth, Jews and Christians. Then he tells us, you be a people. The same. Believing in God. And promoting fair dealings among the people. Islaha bainan nas. Islahan bainan nas. That's the Quranic word in Arabic. All right. So we haven't changed the scene. Scene is still on dominance. Achieving that dominance. So this reference that in the Bible that I want you to share with you that I saw, God bless me to see it. The crooked plan that the bad elements among the Jews wanted to advance gave this to the world. Because it's in the Bible. The Bible is not for Jews. The Bible is for all people that want to follow it, right? It's given to the world. And it's so clever. Most of us will never get it. Only God's mercy will help us get it. It says, these are the Jews now, talking to the Jews to make the Jews aware of their heritage in the best way, in the most powerful way. It says of the Jews, your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Now I want to caution you, when you research what I give you, I'm sure there's no source to give you all that I give you.
None.
You can't find nothing out there anywhere.
None.
That will give you all that I give you. None. God has blessed me with special insight.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not exaggerating. I want no attention for myself. Okay. Hittites were a people who were mighty. They were powerful materially. Very powerful materially. And obviously, if they were very powerful materially, they had great sciences, great wisdom. But what we should know most importantly about them is that they were all about achieving a dominance, defeating all other nations, the Hittites. They became very mighty, very powerful. And the Amorites is a play on, really, Abraham. Abraham. The Amorites were people who were compassionate, loving, caring about the individual person in society, and trying to bring their people or their area to be a family people, caring about each other, loving each other. The Amorites. You can hear a hint of amor, which in Spanish and in Italian too, so love. Mm-hmm. Amorites. So the strategy is to have the leaders be Hittites, Hittite-like.
Mm-hmm.
And the community be Amorite-like. Can't you see that today?
Yes, sir.
Can't you see that presently?
Yes.
Got a Hittite? And the people, Amorites.
Yes.
Love. Americans are supposed to be a people of love. But the rule may be a Hittite.
Yes.
This is reality. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
The balanced community. Don't forget what
what the topic is. The balanced community. Whom and who will start. And there's a prayer that's called also, the midday prayer, and the same word is given for it. We'll start. Salatul Wusta. That's the Asr prayer. Some think it's the noon prayer, but it's the Asr prayer. Because Asr means difficult. See? When you're going downhill, that's the most dangerous part of the mission, to go up the mountain and come down. Going up is not as dangerous as coming back down, because your tendency is to forget, and you end up tumbling and falling and down and be killed. You still have to be very cautious, especially if it's a steep mountain. And Asr refer to a deep incline that is steep. That's what Asr refers to. Very difficult Asr. And that's the trials of this world. When you're facing the trials of this world, it's very difficult. And you're on your way to, you're trying to make your life comfortable, right?
Yeah.
And you're facing, that's going down to where ease will be found after the incline, you see?
Yeah.
And it's so dangerous and difficult. Temptation is to maybe make some maneuvers that wouldn't be too nice. You might say, Brother Shabbat, you go down here to me. And you see him slip and fall, then you know to walk around. You go around. So the temptation is to do something crooked too sometimes. So you need to keep the balance. You need to keep that balance that Allah wants for us. Yes. Where am I? Hittite and Amorite. Okay. Now, what does Allah say concerning those who have a desire for a dominance? He says, any who wants to corrupt or to have a dominance, God says he denies it. I mean, you might achieve it, but it's not approved by God. That means eventually he's going to bring you to judgment and take it away from you. So we want that to be clear before we go further with this.